Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Bless your name, Jesus. Thank you to another, welcome to another broadcast of Saturday with the Word. Yes, 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 Saturday with the Word of God. We thank you so much for tuning in, all our internet listeners, those that are on Skype, even those that are screaming live, and those that have called in on the phone lines. We are truly delighted and excited about you being here with us. This is Prophetess Teresa Docks, and I am your host tonight with Saturday with the Word. We thank you for joining in. Well, we just want to lift the lines up with a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for who you are in our lives. Father, we give you honor and we give you glory. Father, we magnify your name. For truly there is none like you, God. And besides you, Lord God, there is no other. And in you, God, we have everything that we need. So, Father, we just ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would touch, Father, touch those that are on the lines, Lord God. Bless the ear gates, Lord God. Let the word go forth unhindered, unchecked, without any outside force coming against what you're doing tonight. It ain't over.
Come on and give victory a voice and celebrate if you know that it ain't over until God says it's done. You've been through the wall. Come on. You've been through the fire. You were not come. You've been through the storm. You're still here. Look at me. Cause it ain't over. Till God says it's done. It ain't over. Till God says it's over. It ain't finished. Till He has the last say. Until your victory.
Whatever I say, that's what I'm gonna do. You
to write these words down. To let somebody know that it ain't over, it ain't finished until he has the last day. Until your victory has been manifested. Oh, it ain't over, no.
It ain't over until God says that it's over. Yes, yes, yes. Embrace those words tonight. You know, even though we go through, and that's the key, we go through the wilderness, we go through the valley, and I'll tell you one thing, it ain't over until God says it's over. No, the enemy can't tell you when it's over. No, no, no. Satan can't tell you when it's over. It ain't over until God says it's over. So right now, we're still in the process of being prepared for that place that God want to take us to in the spirit realm. He want to call our minds, our spirit, to a higher calling, a higher place. Yes, 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 and I am excited about it. Well, once again, I want to thank you for tuning in to another broadcast, Saturday with the Word. Yes, this is Saturday with the Word. We will be here every Saturday waiting for you to join in with us, because it ain't over until God says it's over. Well, tonight, we're going to be talking about, guess what? It ain't over until God says it's over. And I just want you to get your Bibles, get ready as we go to the throne of grace, as we give you what God has given us this evening. And I'll tell you one thing, it's a blessing to be blessed. It's a blessing to be blessed. I want you to get that. It is a blessing to be blessed of the Lord. Well, I want you to get your Bibles out, and we're getting ready to break bread with you. You know, I just thank God for who he is in my life, because I know that I can go to the rock and I can get a word. And I can get that encouragement. I can get what I need from my Father. And the same thing with you. So sometimes we have to shed tears, but guess what? We can't stay there, because it ain't over until God says it's over. Well, tonight I'm going to ask you to get your Bibles out and get ready to turn to in your Bibles. We're going to turn to 1 Samuel. And I just want to encourage you to just read 1 Samuel, chapter 30, verse 1 through 30. And as you read that, and then we're going to read chapter 6 as well. And because there is quite a few scriptures, we're just going to give you those scriptures to read. And read those scriptures and meditate on the word. But tonight I'm going to take you to Genesis, the first book of the Bible. We're going to go to chapter 12. And we're going to be at verse 1 through 3. And I'll tell you one thing. Begin to embrace that it ain't over, that God is ready to bless you. This is the beginning of what God is doing in your life. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 12. Amen. Verse 1. And we're going to read 1 through 3. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, because you know how to look beyond our faults, Lord God, and see our needs. That's the kind of daddy that you are. Okay, I'm going to read Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee, and I will make thee of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Ramah, thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. My God, my God. We already know that the word of God is already blessed. But we add a blessing to the word of God. Because I'll tell you one thing. When the Lord was speaking, it was Abram's call and blessing. This is what God was telling him. Can you imagine your father, my father, saying to you, as he said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, get away from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee. Just imagine, if you can imagine that with me. See, God wants us to have a covenant relationship with him, a solemn promise. He wants us to make a pledge with him, an agreement, sort of like a vow. You know, like when a man and a woman come together, and they make a vow to each other when they married. Well, that's the same way that God wants us to operate. He wants us to operate with an agreement, like between two or more persons, to carry out some action agreed upon or committed to. So as you're talking to your family or your friends and you agree to do something and the agreement is like a covenant agreement. It's a vow. You know, you take the garbage out and I'll wash the dishes. So that's understood. So that everything in the household can be functional. Everyone have a role to play. And that's what make the household a household that's functional. Because everybody is playing their role. And everybody is doing what they have agreed to do. And when it's like that, then the household is in order. And so God wants us to establish that in our families, in the households, so that when things are understood, there's no misunderstanding. The Bible's saying all you're getting, get an understanding. So we got to be so careful that we understand what the family members expect of others, of ourselves. You know, my husband take the garbage out. I cook. Or we go out to eat. And he pay. I mean, you know, I'm just giving you, it's understood. I mean, yes, I pay some time too. Glory to God. But I'm trying to make a point here. And I'm going to break this down to you because it ain't over until God says it's over. Genesis 17. I want you to turn to Genesis 17 with me. And we're going to go to verse 5. 17 and 5. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And Genesis 17 and 5 reads, "Neither shall thou name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham." See, because of this covenant relationship, God gave Abraham a new name. Because guess what? With that covenant relationship, he knew that he was doing something new in his life. God was doing something new in Abraham's life. And because he was doing something new, he was doing something new because Abraham was faithful. He called him, what did he say about Abraham? He was a man of faith. Faithful to what God had told him to do. And so his name was changed. Old things had passed away and all things had become new. So he gave him a new name. You know, sometimes we can have a name that when they hear our name, people don't want to see us. We can get a bad name, which is hard to get that name cleared up. But God will give you a new name. Sometimes we can be done some things that are so terrible. And when people hear your name, they be like, "Oh, Lord, have mercy." But God will give you a new name. It ain't over until God says it's over. And that's what I want to encourage you with tonight, so that you could know that it ain't over until God says it's over. I want you to turn again. I was reading 17 and 5. "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." There was nations in Abraham's belly. There was nations that he had charge over. So Abraham had to do the right thing. Guess why? Because if he didn't do what was right, if he didn't be obedient to what God told him to do, those nations would not come forth. So we not only have to be obedient to what God tells us to do for us, but for our children and for our children's children and for our down to the third and fourth generation. So what I'm trying to say to you tonight is because Abraham had babies in his belly, Jesus, my God, my God, nations were in Abraham's belly. The word says, it says it right here. "I have made thee a father of many nations have I made thee." And let's read 6. "And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee." So these kings had to be in place. So in order for the kings to be in place, Abraham had to be what? Obedient. He had to be obedient. And this word was given to Abraham. It was given to him. And Abraham knew. And let's move on. But anyway, the next scripture I want you to turn to is Genesis 21, 1 through 3. 21, 1 through 3. And this one we're talking about, Sarah, was bearing Isaac. See, there's a soul at the end of our obedience. There's a birth at the end of us being obedient to what God tells us to do. So sometimes God might tell us to do something, and we don't know why we're doing this. We don't know, but all we know is we can hear his voice. And we're going to move at God's command. And a stranger we will not follow. We will not follow the voice of the enemy. Because guess what? We understand that there's a nation in our belly by us being obedient. 21:1-3 reads, "And the Lord visit Sarah." See, now God visits Abraham first, now he's going to the wife. "And he visits Sarah, and he said to her, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bared Abraham a son in his old age." Listen to this word right here. "At the set time of which God had spoken to him." See, God had already spoken to him and told him he was going to give him a son at the set time that it was going to come to pass. And that's what we got to be careful of, not moving before our set time, because there's a set time that God have already ordained for certain things to come to pass. So we got to be wired up, tuned up, to be able to hear what God is telling us. So that means, how do we hear? The Bible says that we can't hear without the preacher. And the Bible says that he or she can't preach unless he's sent, unless she's sent. Let's read verse 3. "And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, who Sarah bare to him, Isaac." Jesus. He called him Isaac. See, God wants your family to inherit the Abraham's blessing. Blessed means empowered to prosper in every area of our life. The Bible is a book of covenant sealed. The covenant is sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, God's first commandment to the family was found in, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 22. Glory to God. I tell you, this word is so good. I just love it. Chapter 1 and verse 22. God's first commandment to the family is found right here in this verse. Listen to what God said. "And God blessed them," listen to this, "saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowls multiply in the earth." And I'll tell you what, he didn't say go steal. He didn't say go break in. Because guess what? The thieves have their place in the lake of fire. God said, blessed and be fruitful. Be fruitful and multiply. And replenish the earth and fill the waters of the sea and let the fowls, the birds, multiply in the earth. And then the next verse say, "And the evening and the morning was the fifth day." Glory to God. Be fruitful and multiply. See, what does fruitful mean? Fruitful is when you take the seed in you, and you use it. See, God doesn't give you a tree, but guess what? He gives you an acorn, a seed. And then multiply, reduplicate it. See, there's a seed inside of you. And God wants you to use it, like he said to Abraham. You are as a father of nations. Glory to God. And some of us from today onward will stop doing things that are not fruitful in our lives. And I speak that over you prophetically. If it's not productive, stop doing it. And there's a old song that used to play, and they said, if it don't make money, it don't make sense. Well, I'm not going to say if it don't make money, it don't make sense, but if it's not productive, if it's unproductive, see, when you take your time, you sow into things that are productive. Productive to who? Productive to the kingdom. Yes. I'll tell you one thing. When you take that seed and you use it and you multiply it and you sow it in the right way, it will reproduce. You'll see a harvest. It ain't productive, so stop doing it. And some things that have plagued and tormented our families for over 20 and 30 years is going to be broken tonight. See, we have to set order in our household. And we got to literally be keen in the spirit realm so that when the enemy come in to try to eat us up like a just flood and take over what God is trying to build in our lives and take that seed that he's given us and trying to cause that seed not to grow, then we got to really get on the wall of prayer because we can't let the enemy come in and kill what God is trying to bless. I want you to hear me. See, you can tell the devil, you can tell the enemy for your family. It ain't over until God says it's over. Now, this is the title of my message. And I want you to turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, let's go to 1 Samuel 30, chapter 30. Glory to God. Bless your name, Jesus. For God is so good, he wants us to just replenish the earth, be productive. And guess what? We can't be all crooked trying to be productive. Because guess what? Everything that you crook and you deceive and get this and get that, I'll tell you what, it will not reproduce of itself. And if it does, it won't be long. For you will find, before you will find yourself back at that place where you started. Drum roll, glory to God. Now, I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 6. Listen to this. And it was when the Ammonites raided David's home. See, it had came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, and the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and the smitten Ziklag had burnt it with fire and had taken the women captive and were therein. They slew not any more, either great or small, but he carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire. And their wives and their children and their daughters were taken captive. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David, two wives, were taken captive. Listen to this. The Ammonites and the Jezreelites and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Ammonite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. For David encouraged himself in the Lord. They were away. The Philistines dismissed David. When they came back home, they had been raided. Their camp had been raided. And they had took the women and the children. They had took them with them. They had taken them captive. Can you imagine coming home and your family, your home has been raided, and the women and the children are gone. Mama gone. They gone. And here you come home. And what would we do? They had to encourage themselves in the Lord. That's what David did. See, sometimes we go through situations, and we see everything that's going on. But I'll tell you what, when you begin to do just the opposite of what the enemy expects you to do, everything is falling apart around you. And you begin to praise God. You begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. You begin to use those scriptures. You begin to start saying, Lord, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You begin to use those scriptures that's going to build you up on the inside, so that what comes out of your mouth is built up from the inside, and now you can penetrate the very being of hell, because guess what? The trap didn't work. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And as I was reading this, you know, it came back to me. In chapter 29, we find that David and his army had just had a great victory. They had just won over the Philistines. And now here we go. I'm not going to say a day later, but the next chapter, chapter 30, come back home. I mean, he didn't just rejoice over this great victory. And then he come back home in chapter 30, and we find that when they came home and they found that while they were gone, everything was taken away from them. Even though they were doing the work for the Lord. It make you want to what? Quit. They done won this war, then did what God told them to do, and then come back home and both your wives gone? Be bad enough with one gone. We can't say both our husbands gone, both of his wives gone. But you get the story. I could imagine everything that David was feeling. I mean, I'm out here, and I'm doing everything that you tell me to do, Lord, and I come back home where my haven is, and everything is gone. My children gone. The fruit of my loins is gone. No, what did David do? Encouraged himself in the Lord. Everything that he had worked for. Now, tonight, I'm going to give you keys, principles, and a foundation for your family and your generation. And after you, so that they can be blessed with what you do today, what you do in this season. See, the struggle our families are having will be no more. And I'm speaking that over you. You will recover. Everything that the enemy has stolen from your family members, the time that he has stolen, the education that he has took from you, the marriages that have been broken, the child that's in the street on drugs, we're going to call them in tonight. Because guess what? Foundational keys can be used to bring that family back into that blessed place. The first point that I want to make is, it's time to remove the stumbling blocks. You know how they say, it's a big elephant in the room and nobody is saying anything. But everybody sees the elephant, but nobody want to address it. A giant that hindering your family from being blessed. So the first thing we got to do is it's time to remove the giant, the stumbling blocks that are hindering our families from being blessed. And guess what? When we get rid of that giant, those stumbling blocks, we'll be getting rid of the giant of distress. Listen, go back to verse 6. In the name of Jesus, we're going to do verse 6 and let's see, I'm going to say the A clause. Glory to God. I don't know how my Bible got on 1 Corinthians. I guess the enemy is saying, "Gonna blame it on me." Glory to God. Oh, yeah, blame it on him. Amen. But we're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I think I left off at 6. Look at the A clause. Because the souls of the people were grieved. Every man for his son and for his daughters. They had a defeated attitude. Like, our family is gone. What are we going to do? They felt so defeated that they wanted to what? They wanted to stone David. They wanted to blame somebody, wanted to take it out on somebody. So they wanted to stone David. And the scripture said that they had such a bad mood that they wanted to kill David. So I'm going to tell it like this. They were pissed. You know, we've been out here with you doing this work, and we come back, and everything that we've been pouring into our families, they're gone. Our camp has been raided, demolished. So we're gonna take it out on you, David. God will always give us a plan. See, don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your children or your situation. See, David had to say to the enemy, this is what David had to say to the enemy. It ain't over. It ain't over. Listen to this.
Come on and give victory a voice and celebrate if you know that it ain't over until God says it's done. You've been through the lot. Come on. You've been through the fire. You were not turned. You've been through the storm. Look at that. Cause it ain't over. No money in my pocket. You man, every need, everything that I needed. If you're sick in your body, I want you to know that God is a healer, cause it ain't over. Till God says it's done. No, it ain't over. o'clock in the morning. He told me to write these words down to let somebody know that it ain't over, it ain't finished until he has the last day. Until your victory has been manifested. Oh, it ain't over, no.
Oh, yes, quitting is not an option. It ain't over until God says that it's over. I'll tell you one thing, what David did, David had to get out of disappointment. David had to get out of discouragement to avoid being defeated. See, sometimes we got to make a choice to say, it ain't over until God says it's over. Yes, victory is mine. And I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to be encouraged. I'm going to be persuaded. And you know what David did? David, he pursued victory. See, it was overtaken by the choice that he made. He overtook his enemy who had stolen from him by doing what? Encouraging himself. See, it's time to walk in the generational blessing for your family. And I'm going to tell you how you do it. First, you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord. It doesn't matter what you're going through, but encourage yourself in the Lord. Because listen what the scripture said. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because of the souls of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, David had lost two wives and children too. And when they talking about stoning him, David encouraged himself. And that's what I want to encourage you to do tonight. See, David didn't turn to anyone else but God. Men need to stand up and say, like Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Then you will know that when you turn to God instead of other people, instead of women, men, cousins, families, friends, liquor, drugs, you will know that God is a keeper and that all your help, it comes from the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, God honors that. Oh, yes, God give us good friendship, good covenant relationship, but God is our real strength. We can pull on the anointing of somebody else, but God is our real strength. See, David said things like, the Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? And see, some of us need to be encouraged. And we need to be an encourager. Even, something came to my mind when I thought about this young girl. She had gotten pregnant and had a baby, and she was all distressed, and they were criticizing her and everything, and that she was, you know, now you got a baby and you're not married, and she was struggling in her flesh with men, and they kept criticizing her. And I was blessed to be able to tell her, encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't be bound to what people say, but be free with what God gives. And I told her to go to the Lord, inquire of the Lord. See verse 7 and 8. in the same chapter where it says, and David, you know, and when you really think about this, when people think that you're down, very few people will come and encourage you. They'll call and they'll see where you're down at, and first thing they start thinking is, I don't know what he did or I don't know what she did, but, man, I ain't going to be hanging around her because she really, really going through, or he really, really going through. I'll tell you one thing. When God is testing, what God will do is you can be tried and tested to see what you're going to do in the midst of that test, what you're made of. Because, see, once you go through the test, you'll be pure gold. It's like those small things don't affect you. You done did that and been there and done it, and you don't even know that you're going through it because those are minute things. You're not even bothered with it. So you begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. Every stone that's thrown, I'm still encouraged. And like I said, David didn't turn to no one else. He inquired of the Lord. And David said to the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hinder the ephod. And you know, David knew that when he can just get to the Lord, it said what? The priest. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I go get them? Shall I overtake them? Should I be pissed off and revenge myself, basically? And he answered him. What did God say? God said, pursue, for those shall surely overtake them. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fall, what did he say? Recover all. Because guess what? David was not going to be defeated. David made his mind up. I got the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. I got the God of the universe. God, David needed an answer. He needed a plan from the Lord. Men and women don't move until you get an answer from the Lord. Don't move until you get a plan from the Lord. See, most marriages will be intact and we learn how to be patient. And I'm going to tell you, I'm preaching to myself first. Turn your heart to the Lord and ask the Lord to give you the patience to endure. And I'm going to tell you one thing. When God releases you, you know it. But if you're still battling with your decisions, go to the Father and get an answer. That's what David did. And then we're going to talk about identifying the family who will fight. So you got some people in your family that's going to fight with you. And you got some, you know, can't use that one. That's verse 9 and 10. Let's see what it says. So David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200, what does it say, abode behind. They stayed behind, which were so faint that they could not go over to the brook. God has a seed in you. God has a seed in your family. There is no fruit without a seed. And that seed is the raw, basic material of your miracle. See, it's that seed that the enemy wants to steal. Because, see, if we're defeated, we're not going to plant the seed. So we can't be defeated. We got to know that there's a seed in us. And as I talked about in the beginning, Abraham, the father of many nations. If Abraham was not obedient, how could he be the father of many nations? Abraham didn't quit. He made some mistakes, but he didn't quit. Everyone that's on the line, I want you to just know that you got a seed inside of you. And then you got to learn your place. And you got to learn what gift is inside of you. You should do an inventory, an assessment inventory, not just of yourself, but of your family, to find out that what gifts are there. For an example, we set up a scholarship program for some of my family members, and it was given out at every family reunion. And guess who we gave it to? We gave it to the ones that it was a good foundation, where we saw their report cards. We saw their attitudes in school. We sold into those that were good ground, because, see, family is important. Family is important. Let me get back to David. David started out with 600, but only 400 went to the battle. See, everyone will not go with you. Some will faint before you even get to the battle. But go ahead with the resources that you have. Goes back to the scholarship program. We went ahead with the ones that are resourceful. And then we got those that's lost in the wilderness. They're not going to go. See, it's time to do the battle cry. It's time to do the battle cry for our families. It ain't over. Until God says it's over, it ain't over. Let's read 16. Let's see. Yeah, 16 through 19. And this was when David defeated the Amalekites. They was defeated. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spared abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all of the great spoils that they had what taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judea. And David smote them from the twinkle even unto the evening of the next day. Glory to God, David had a good time. And there escaped not a man from them. Nobody got away. Some 400 young men were rolled up on camels and fled. And David recovered all of the Amalekites had carried away. He took everything that they had stolen. And David rescued his two wives. Give me mine. I could imagine that's what David was saying. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither shell nor great, neither son nor daughter, nor spoils, nor anything that were taken to them. David recovered all. And that's what God want to tell you tonight, that you are going to recover all. You need to tell the devil that your family is blessed and will not die, not getting the inheritance for the family. See, God wants our families to recover all, not part, but all. Recover that everything that has been snatched away, God wants to give it back. Because, see, the enemy will steal your vision. He'll steal your hope. He'll steal those things that you don't know missing. You wondering why you're in the fire. You wondering why you can't get ahead, because guess what? He done took your hope away. He done took your drive away. So you're wandering in the wilderness and you don't know how to get out, so you're doing all this crazy stuff that's going to make you end up in jail, prison, or dead. And I'm talking to the young people now, But then we got some old people that's doing that too. But I just want to say, God wants you to recover all. It ain't over until God says it's over. So I want you to tell the enemy to give you back your stuff. See, it's time to do warfare prayers for our families. Warfare prayers is the kind that bring victory of Jesus. And when that victory come over the enemy, we going to go in and take our families out of the enemy's hand. We can't take this lightly. When we see what the enemy doing, I don't play with them. Yes, I kick a door in. Because guess what? My family is precious to me. And the enemy can't have them. And certain prayers don't even bother the devil. But when you pray warfare prayers, when you pray prophetically, when you get in your life that powerful prophetic prayer, and you speak that over your family, and you decree, the Bible says that what? We can decree a thing, and it shall be established. And we can't go in weak. We go in knowing that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I know who I am. We got to know who we are. No, forget about what we did in the past. Forget about what we said in the past. It's canceled. We're moving right along. And we're encouraging ourselves in the Lord. See, Lord, I just say, Lord, help me to be the family. And I'm going to say man, but we know we understand. Like Joshua. Joshua. Joshua would say, as for me and my house, where I live, my home, we're going to serve the Lord. Everybody up in here going to serve the Lord. It's plain and simple. Because guess what? These are holy grounds. Forgive me, Lord, and let me forgive myself. I surrender all bitterness, loneliness, low self-esteem. You got to give it all to him, whatever it is that you're dealing with. And then you tell him, I just put my trust in you, Lord. I put my trust in you, Lord, to show me how to be the family that is called by you, God. Ordain me to be what you want me to be for my family. Deliver me from the bondage of the past. And visit me, Lord, in this hour. And then just tell them, I set my heart on you, God, so that you can renew my mind and resolve every situation that have caused my family not to be operating in the spirit of unity, that we can let the enemy come in and divide us. Uh-uh, it ain't going to work. Because guess what? Your face is set like flint. The whole family, all going the same way. I'm going to tell you, that three-fold cord is not easily broken. So when we're in agreement, we got an understanding, we crush the devil head. Crush him. We can get him out real quick. Let's start just praising the Lord in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the trouble. And I'll tell you what, as we cover ourselves and our families in the precious blood of Jesus, see, it's through the blood that we're justified. It's through the blood that we have our peace. And as we ask God to forgive us and cleanse us and make us whole, he'll do it. And not allow Satan and all of his little imps, some evil spirits that get up in us and want to take residence. You know when they're there. Cancel them out. Curse them. Attack their assignments because they want to attack yours. Speak over their family. destroy the enemy's family. And I'm not talking about flesh and blood. I'm talking about spiritual matters. And you can just, you know, there's so many things. You can renounce any association with any cults. You can release the blessings of God. Any soul ties, ungodly soul ties, any generational curses. We got power that rests inside of us. We got so much power that the enemy is trembling. But we got to use that power. And when we begin to praise God, we build up ourselves in the Lord like David did. At one point, David danced out his clothes because guess what he was saying? I give it all to you, God. Any sin that's covered up, I give it to you. See, David got set free. David was free. And then he was free to praise God like he wanted to, like he needed to. And then when God hear our praises, the word of God says that he inhabit our praises. You know what inhabit means? That means that he eats our praises. That's his breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So when we feed God our praises, God is eating. God is getting the glory because, see, praising him is saying, you're the King of kings. You're the Lord of lords. You are all of that, God. And that's what God wants to hear from us. Lastly, and then I'm going to close out, but it's time to build a family altar. See, let me tell you about an altar. An altar, it's a structured place which is set aside that you sacrifice in your home or wherever you want to put it. And in the Old Testament, they sacrificed blood of animals until the ultimate sacrifice was made in the New Testament, which is Jesus Christ, who now stands as our mediator between who? God and man. But in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that mercy may be given unto us. And then what it says, and find spiritual strength to help us when we need it. Jesus, the word of God is so good. So now we need to put our sacrifices on the altar. See, it's time to sacrifice. Take your hands off of it. Take your hands off of that lying daughter. Stop trying to help her. Because sometimes we think we're helping, but we're hurting them. Because God want to deal with them, but because of your prayers, God going to shape them and mold them. But sometimes we want to protect them. And we know they wrong. But God wants us, it's time to sacrifice our will and ask God to show us what he wants us to do for our families. It's time to get rid of all unforgiveness, all bitterness, hate. It's time out for it. And then we're going to put it all on the altar. Put it on the altar and just leave it there. You know, when Abraham had to take his son as a sacrifice, I could imagine that that was the hardest thing that Abraham was asked of the Lord. But that's symbolic to say, will I take my child and say, okay, Lord, have your way? Will I do that? Or would I say, oh, no, shatarabu, hey, cool, not my son, not my daughter, not my grandchild. We got to trust God that he'll fix it because he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So we put it on the altar and we leave it there. And then in the meantime, our praises are going up. We're feeding God. And in the meantime, we trust in God. In the meantime, we're encouraging ourselves in the Lord. We're not stuck in the situation, but we're encouraging ourselves in the Lord because we understand that when we follow what God say do, that we're going to get the results of victory. We can't tolerate certain things because they bring a curse. And when it's a curse, then consequence come with it. So we say, me and mine going to serve the Lord. And if you're going to be with me and mine, you're going to serve the Lord, plain and simple. So we get rid of that big giant that's in the room that nobody's paying attention to. And we begin to say that it's all on the altar. Or, in other words, I surrender all. I surrender all. I just want to encourage you tonight, get a slip of paper and write down all of your hurt. Shatarabu. Write down all of your bitterness. Write down all of your pain. Just write it down. And some of us will have to go and ask forgiveness from some, even in the same room, even in the same house. Take those things that you write down, and I want you to put them into a bowl of incense. Ha, shatarabu. And then I want you to take these things to the Lord. And when you take them there, I want you to light a fire to that bowl, and I want you to burn it up. And then, after it's burnt up, glory to God. We're going to seal it with the blood of Jesus that it'll never return in the name of Jesus. For God is not a God that he should lie. But it's time for us to trust him totally. And as I was saying, that seed inside of us, that seed before us, our families, at all costs, we must be led by the Holy Spirit so that they can be saved. So we can have a covenant relationship with them. And a family agreement, as I talked about in the beginning. This household is ran by agreements. It's understood that you take the garbage out. It's understood that he washed the dishes. It's understood who do what. And that's what makes the family functional. Because you can't be here and you're not contributing. And just say this, maybe you don't have no money, but guess what? You got some arms and some legs and you're going to keep the house clean. You're going to turn the lights off. You're going to make sure the gas is not up high. You ain't paying no bills, so don't touch the thermometer. Listen, it's one of those things where you just demand order. God, order is of God. So I just want to encourage you tonight to be encouraged in God. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter that you went through a defeat. Because I tell you what, if you don't quit, you shall recover all. Glory to God. For truly, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us, Lord God. And, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you, Father God, that you put so much in your word, God, to give us the answers to what we have questions to, Lord God. For, Lord God, even in this season, Father, as people are going through in the name of Jesus, Father, we just ask you, Father God, to give us the words to say, Father God, so that we can be a comfort to them in the name of Jesus, that we will forget about ourselves, Lord God, as we trust ourselves with you, God, that we can be a blessing to someone else in the name of Jesus. Father, I lift up all families that's on the line tonight, God, and I thank you, Father God, that the unity of faith is in the families, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that the family will stand as a strong tower, as one in the spirit realm in the name of Jesus. I cover the doorposts of everyone on this line with the blood of Jesus, every window, every door, every floor, the steps, Lord God, every part of that house I cover with the blood of Jesus. And I speak, ha, shatarabo lekisa, that the enemy cannot come nigh thee in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that everything is working together for your good, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that it ain't over until you says it's over, God. So we surrender all to you in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we expect, Lord God, the victory. In Jesus' holy name, we say amen and glory to God. Glory to your matchless, wonderful name. Yes, yes, yes. I am so excited with what God is doing. And I stay focused on the victories. The victories. Because I understand that God will not leave me out to dry. That's the type of relationship that I know that we have with the Father. So I just want to, again, the loving on seniors, the sweetest day dinner that was done today by Hannah's Alpha Omega Ministry and Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters. It was awesome. It was just a wonderful time. The seniors were so blessed, and truly we were blessed as well. Tri-Stone came out, and, you know, we just all did this thing together, straight from the heavens. Prophet Pam, straight from the heavens, sold into it, and we just had a glorious time. Living Way Christian Center, our own Apostle Leonard M. Emmons brought words of encouragement. We gave out gifts from Kingdom Builders to the seniors. Glory to God. I'm just excited. Loving on seniors was so much fun today. And we're just praying that it become an outreach that can be done monthly, a monthly outreach. So we're praying that that seed is planted, and we're praying that it shall be established for the seniors, because they were truly blessed. We had an opportunity to pray with them, love on them, and it was just a glorious time. After they ate real good, you know, it was just seeing their eyes with giving the gifts. It was just a joy. Truly it was a joy. It was a beautiful, sweetest day today, as every day is. And then on November the 3rd, glory to God, hallelujah, I'm excited about our monthly empowerment. We'll be bringing forth Minister Tammy Weatherspoon. Glory to God. She'll be coming forth with power. And we just thank God for her, because I'll tell you what, she got a word in her belly. She got a seed in her belly, and she got to get it out. So glory to God. It will be November the 3rd. The Feast of the Lord is going on. We have refreshments will be served. We'll be doing a coat and clothes giveaway. And we're excited. We're excited to sow into people. We're excited about it. And we just want to encourage everyone on the line. If you believe in what we're doing, you like what we're doing, it's all about the kingdom, we want to encourage you to sow into what we're doing. You can go to our website, kingdombuildersplaza.org. And you can sow that way. You can give us an email, a request. We'll send you an invoice. You can sow that way. You can just contact me, contact Evangelist Hannah. You can contact me at area code 586-914-1251. Evangelist Hannah, 312-890-3204. We need your help. If you don't know God, and you want to know Jesus and the pardon of your sin, we encourage you to accept him into your heart. It's just that easy. Just confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died and rose again. He didn't stay dead, and he died for your sins, sins of past sins and even sins to come. That's the kind of God we serve. And you want to accept him. Confess, believe, repent. It's done. Just that simple. We'll be more than happy to sow a Bible into your life if you have just accepted Christ. send us an email, give us a call. We'll be glad to pray with you. And that's what it's all about. We want to see you saved. And another announcement I want to make, join us on the prayer line. Hallelujah, glory to God. Area code 218-895-0280. Entry code is the word PRAY, 7729. We're there 5 days a week. We're thinking maybe in the next week or so, we will be there 7 days a week at 5 a.m. Central Time. Glory to God. Bring your prayer requests because we're praying until the manifestation come forth. And also, I want to make the announcement about the 24-hour prayer that will be going forth on October 31st on our prayer line. We will be praying the whole day from 12, I believe it's from, it's 24 hours of prayer. If you want to take an hour, I think it's a few hours left, you can contact our own evangelist Hannah at area code 312-890-3204, or you can email her at hannah@kingdomdaughters.org, and she'll give you an hour. Again, we'll be on that line, and we're going to be believing God for miracles that day for people that are out there want to celebrate the enemy's holiday. So, again, that's another announcement. And then also, April 2013, we'll be doing our Prophetic Intercessors Conference again in Detroit, Michigan. Glory to God. It will be the second week of April, and we're in the planning stage right now. We'll keep you updated about that. And also in October, hallelujah, we're going to be doing our Prophetic Intercessors Conference in Chicago, Illinois. Glory to God. We was going to do both of them in Detroit, but God has changed the plans. So we'll be in Chicago in October, in Detroit in April. Hallelujah. And I believe that is all the announcements for now. Again, I want to encourage you in the Lord. Stay in his presence. Just take authority over your family, spirit life. Just command the enemy. If there's anything that's causing confusion, you got the power and authority to cast him out. Yes, yes, yes. God has already given it to you. Well, again, I thank you so much for tuning in to another broadcast of Saturday with the Word. Join us next Saturday, same time, same place. We'll be here, Saturday with the Word. I believe we have a guest on next Saturday night. I believe so, but join in with us. We will be here every Saturday, bringing forth the Word of God. And then for the month of November, I'm glad I remembered this, for the first 2 weeks in November, we are restructuring our Blog Talk Radio. So there will be no broadcasts for the first 2 weeks because we're doing some restructuring. It is our anniversary week. We have been on the line since 08. So the first week of November is our restructuring period. Everything that is being played is pre-recorded messages. So you can still come on if you want to listen to the pre-recorded messages. They will be here, but the first week of October. So we'll be starting back in the middle of October. Again, I believe that is all the announcements for now. But God bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. And just don't forget, it ain't over until God says it's over. God bless you.
Come on and give victory a voice and celebrate if you know that it ain't over until God says it's done. You've been through the wall. Come on. You've been through the fire. You were not alone. You've been through the storm. Look at me. Cause it ain't over. Your victory. until your victory, until your victory has been manifested. But you didn't go hungry. God, honey, faithful, no money. Oh, yeah, I've been through that. No money in my pocket. Humanity needs everything that I needed. If you're sick in your body, I want you to know that God is a healer, cause it ain't over. Till God says it's done. No, it ain't over. Somebody needs to hear that today. Until your victory, until you can see it with your own eyes, I want you to know it ain't over till God says it's done. Dry your eyes and square your shoulders. Hold your head up high. It ain't finished till He has the last day. And He said that you are the know that it ain't over, it ain't finished until He has the last day. Until your victory has been.